Good morning, guys. How are we? Sorry for the commotion. Just got to get a giant door on stage, right? Because that's the normal thing to do. Who's in here got an iPhone?
Yeah.
Who's just got a cell phone?
Yeah.
Anybody? You got a cell phone? Okay. Not trying to make you feel left out if you don't. That's okay. Listen to your parents. It's probably wise that you don't. Recently, the iPhone X came out. Anybody heard about the iPhone X? If you haven't, you've been in a hole. Okay, if you've not seen one, this is an iPhone X. Okay, it's sleek. They ripped off Samsung. They just stole all of what they did. So, love Apple products. They're unbelievable. The big thing with the iPhone X, I've got an iPhone, and like right now I do like Touch ID. I've got a home screen. You can tell here, this one has zero home screen. There's no Touch ID. You don't want to know why? Facial recognition. So what you do with an iPhone X, you hold it up to your face, it recognizes it's you, and it unlocks you. That's one of the coolest features. There are tons of features on the iPhone X, but that's one that you're just like, oh, man, if I could just have that, if I could just get in that way, if it could just know who I am, oh, dude, that'd be awesome. Okay, well, there are tons of people who will write code and can hack into things. And the way technology is progressing, that happens even quicker now. So even though this just came out, the only way to get facial recognitions on an iPhone X, there was an article that I saw yesterday that it has just come out. If you want the facial recognition software before Apple sends the updates, some hacker got in and all you have to do is text in that you want it and they'll send you the software. I'm serious, 100% serious. They came out with an update yesterday, this group of hackers did. And so if you pull out your phone right now and you text, I see you. It sounds bogus. It sounds like it's too good to be true. But seriously, you don't have to spend $1,000. Pull out your phone right now. If you text this number, 615-945-3557, pull out your phones. Text, I see you, and they'll send you everything that you need to have basically an iPhone X. You don't need an iPhone X. You can do it on your phone. I should have looked more if you can do it without an iPhone, but text 615-945-3557. And it's going past what Apple's trying to just keep everybody in to have. You text it? Can you do it? You did it? Has it sent it back yet? Hasn't sent anything back? Do you have an iPhone? Does that sound too good to be true? Yes, it does. Does anybody not believe me? Most people. Okay? It worked. It recognizes Houston. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, that's a lie. Okay? All right, bear with me for a second, okay? Yes, your youth pastor just straight up lied to you. Deal with it, okay? But I told you it's a lie. Here's the thing. Stay with me, all right? When you heard, don't worry about it. It's a friend of mine. Plan a prank on him. He just got 200 texts. It is not a cool day to be that guy. But come on back. Hey, y'all do me a favor, don't keep texting him, okay? Let's just leave it at that. Hey, but when you guys hear, oh, you mean I can have an iPhone X without actually having an iPhone X? You mean I don't have to go spend $1,000 to have the cool thing that I want? Some of you guys, if we took that further and it's not just like, oh, text in, I could have said, hey, who'd be willing to go jump in the pond for an iPhone X? Most of y'all would be like, yeah! Who'd be willing to drag 50 pounds behind you for the next year so that you could have a free iPhone X? Okay? Some of you guys would do it. And here's the thing. When we're sitting in this room and we hear, oh, I can just do this and I can have everything that I've ever wanted, we're willing to do it. But guys, it's a lie. To have an iPhone X, to have the capabilities and all the cool factor of an iPhone X, you have to have an iPhone X. You just have to. That's where we are. To have a relationship with Jesus, You can't just do all of these things to think that that's going to compensate and make up for having a relationship with Jesus. You have to have Jesus. It's not a shortcut. It's not an easy way. It's simple. It's something God has given you. Why I start with a lie about an iPhone is because most of us believe lies about our faith, about how we get to heaven, about what happens once we know Jesus and how we live out the Christian faith. And guys, they're lies. The only way to have a relationship with Jesus is Jesus. And it's all about him, nothing else. And we have made it so much more. If you weren't here last week, maybe you were. We're doing a series called Reformation, about the Reformation. Many of us in here had never heard of it before, didn't know what it was. 500 years ago, the church forever changed because of several men and women who were willing to give their lives. We looked last week at Martin Luther and how he went not to attack the church, not to blow up the church. He didn't go to tear down the Catholic Church. He went to call the church back to what it was founded on, Jesus, the gospel. And what had happened is over 1,500 years of us trying to live out our faith in humanity, in who Jesus was, we made it so much harder. We added all these rules and rituals, and it lost the scent of Christ. And so what Martin Luther did is he posted 95 theses on this door, not this door, but on the church door, to create a conversation. And what it did is it sparked the Reformation, a revolution, based on five truths combating how people were living out their faith at that time. And what we learned is our faith, the way we live our faith and practice our faith, is forever different on these five things. I'm going to go quick. Sola Scriptura, Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone. If you weren't here, you can check out that message last week. But that's what we learned. This series is not just to look at a bunch of facts of what happened, but because of what happened, where are we today so that our tomorrow can be different? Because, guys, the church isn't the problem. Martin Luther wasn't going, hey, the church is not going to work in the world. He was saying, hey, the way that we are living as the church, not as an organization, not as a building, not as a thing, but we as the people, it's not working because we are not submitted to the Spirit of God. We are not just believing the truth of the gospel in Jesus Christ alone for the glory of God. That's what they did then. And guys, we are in desperate need of reformation for us too. Just because it already happened 500 years ago does not mean we are set. Lies have infiltrated our culture. Lies have gone into our heads, our friends' heads, of what it takes to become a Christian. And then once someone is, what happens? And that's what we're going to be looking at today. The basis for all of this, again, we learned last week, is because the authority of what we are to believe and how we live that out rests in this book, the Scripture. Scripture alone, sola scriptura, is the authority. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Guys, we hope that you will look at the truth in this book, not because I'm saying it, or your parents are saying it, or your small group saying it, or your school says it, or whatever, but because men and women have given their lives so that you can see it in your language, so that you can understand the truth of God lived out in Jesus Christ. And we hope you will. So that's what we're doing. The reformers back then were combating lies that people had said, this is what it takes, this is what you do, this is what it's about. And they tried to shatter that, to live out truth. And so what does the church need to do in 2017? What do we need to strip away so that we will just, when people look at us, they see Jesus? Not a bunch of rules, not a bunch of rituals, not a lot of things that we add on. What do we need to take away? What do we need to tear down so that people will see Jesus? And so what we're going to do, if my nail will work this time, maybe, we are going to post our 2017 theses. Maybe. So close. All right, it's going to hold. All right? So, These are the things in 2017 that the church needs to fight against. You, yourself, and what you believe, what you've heard from others, maybe what you're telling others, because this world desperately needs to know the truth. So what we're going to look at, and we got to go quick, is six lies and then six truths that we find in God's word. And I want to clear something up because there was some confusion. Martin Luther posted 95 theses, not feces. Okay? There were some people who walked away going, why did we talk about poop the whole time? Why were we talking about feces? Okay? We're not talking about 95 feces and the poop that has to happen. We're talking about the crap we believe. And I don't use that word a lot because it gets that reaction of, oh, wow. We're talking about the junk, the lies that have gone into us that have started to choke out the beauty and simplicity of the gospel. And so we're going to look at those this morning. First one is this. All right. I would recommend you guys taking notes. Pull out your phone, pull out your Bible, underline these. Here is the first one. My handwriting stinks. That's fine. Being good makes me a Christian. That's the first lie. Being good makes me a Christian. Well, just because I'm good, because I do good things, yeah, I'm a Christian. I mean, we're all Christians, right? Yeah, we live in Dallas, Texas. We're Christians, so maybe you've heard some of these things. Yeah, I do good things. That makes me a Christian. I'm a Christian because I go to church. My parents are Christians, so I'm a Christian. I follow the rules. I'm moral. So, yeah, I'm a Christian. If my good outweighs the bad, then I'm good enough to go to heaven. Maybe you heard people say, yeah, I'm good enough. And we make this blank and we say, hey, let me fill in the blank with this. Because of these things, that's what makes me a Christian. Because that's not the gospel. Here's the gospel, a verse we looked at last week, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. I'm going to put that on here too. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. This is not because of works. It's a gift of God so that no one may boast. Nothing that you can do to earn your way to heaven. But some of us think that, oh no, if I just do enough good things, then God will love me. I think that's a lot what our culture believes, and maybe some of you believe. I think I'm going to talk to this room right here. Okay, I think that something that is widespread among here is, yeah, I go to church. I'm a Christian. Yeah. I mean, Harrison, I'm here. I'm sitting awake. It's what I'm doing. So I'm a Christian. All right. Let's just say, anybody in here a Mavs fan? Like basketball? Okay. Or Spurs. Anybody some Spurs fans? Lakers? All right. Let's say that we had some tickets to a Mavs game. We all go. Okay. Or hey, let's just watch the game on TV. All right. I like to watch the game on TV. Does that make me a Maverick? No? Okay, I get a ticket to the game. I get to go to the Mavs game. Does that make me a Maverick?
No.
All right, well, let's say I stole Ethan's hat, and I get to wear a Mavs hat. Does that make me a Maverick? Now I'm a super fan, and I'm cheering them on right there. Okay, I don't have a Mavs jersey, so we're going to create some sacrilege here. But let's say I get a jersey. I dress out. I don't just sound like I love basketball. I know I'm wearing both, but let's just say I'm just a super fan. I'm cheering them on. I'm screaming. I'm painted up. Does that make me a basketball player?
No.
It is as ridiculous to say that because I wear a jersey and go to the game, that makes me on the same team as Dirk Nowitzki, as it is to say, hey, if I just go to church, if I just look the part, if I just do the good things to sound like a Christian, then that makes me a Christian. It is by grace you have been saved through faith because of Jesus. It's not about being better people. It is about Jesus. Wow, there we go. All right, lie number two. Lie number two. God can't love me because whatever. Now remember, these are lies that maybe you've heard. Maybe these are lies that you have said. Maybe these are lies you believe. I think this is a lie that many of us lay in bed at night and think, man, there's no way God could love me. You know, I don't even love myself. Some of the things I've done, there's no way that God would accept me, that God would forgive me. I mean, Harrison, you don't understand. Maybe it's lying. Maybe it's cheating on a test. Maybe it's stealing something from a store. Maybe it's clicking on images online. Maybe you don't think that God created you the way that you wanted, and so you control or manipulate what you eat or how you treat your body. Maybe you just think, oh, what I've done, what I think, man, God can't love me for that. Or maybe you think, hey, I don't love myself. God knows everything I've done. There's no way he would love me. There's no way anybody would love me. But guys, how ridiculous to think that God, who created the universe, who sent his son to die for you, to pay the penalty of sin that you deserve, to wipe that slate clean, to give forgiveness to all humanity. How ridiculous for any of us in here to go, yeah, but I don't think God could do it for me because my sin is too great, to think that his payment on the cross was not enough. The truth to combat that lie is Romans 5:8. But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God can't love me because I'm not good enough, because I don't love me, because of my sin, because of my circumstance, because of my parents' divorce, because of what someone else has done to me, because of my shame, because of whatever. That's a lie. God loves you because of Jesus. It's not trying to be good or trying to be better. That's not what we're trying to do. It is all about Jesus alone. Number three. This is one that's starting to go through our culture. If I believe something, doesn't really matter what it is. If I'm just spiritual, if I just have some sort of faith, then I can go to heaven. I hear this one a lot. Oh, it doesn't matter what you believe. If you just believe in a higher power, if you have some sort of faith in something, well, then I can go to heaven. All roads lead to heaven. There are multiple ways to heaven. There are multiple ways that you're going to get to the same place because God's a good God and a loving God. We know the truth. Here's what Jesus says of himself in John 14:6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Period. But guys, just in the last week, I've talked to three separate people who I've heard these things. Hey, how do you think that you go to heaven? Oh, you just have faith. Oh, you have faith in what? Oh, faith in anything. It's a guy named Larry that I'm talking to, who is a waiter of mine. Oh, you have faith in something. And so you can believe in anything. And he said, yeah, as long as you're not just yelling out, Allah Akbar. And I said, oh, so you just have faith in anything but that. Yeah. That's not a faith in anything. It's a faith in Christ. Talked to another guy who was like, I said, hey, what do you have faith in? I was buying a door from him. And he said, oh, I'm mostly Christian. What do you mean by mostly? Well, I believe most of the things about Christianity, but then I kind of mix in some other Eastern mysticism. It's not a both and. It's not a whatever you want. Jesus says, it's me. That's it. We're not just trying to be spiritual. It's not about doing something. It'd be like if I was saying, hey, you guys want to go on a trip? I got a plane ticket. You want to go to New York? Here you go. Take this ticket, go to DFW, go through security, hop on the plane, you're going to New York. But Harrison, this is a plane ticket to Abilene. Yeah, but you're going to New York. No, dude, this is going to Abilene. Can't just hop on a plane and expect to go where you want unless you're intentionally going that direction. It's not just all airplanes are going to get to Manhattan. There's only one way to be reconciled to God, and it's Jesus. It's not about spirituality. It is about Christ alone. A lot of these have been about salvation. What do I have to do to be saved? How do I have relationship with Christ? These next are, once I know Jesus, once I call myself a follower of Christ, how do I live it out? And this is a big one, I think, for us in this room. Number four. Because I'm a Christian, if I could spell, I have to fill in the blank. Well, because I call myself a Christ follower, because now I've surrendered my life to Christ, I have to do X, Y, Z, A, B, C, whatever it is. And we not only just fill in one blank, we create a checklist and say, great, now I'm labeled as this, and so I have to go to church. I have to read my Bible. I have to pray. I have to go to small group. I have to serve others. I have to, I have to, I have to. And at the beginning, it's exciting. But over time, it becomes a list of chores that doesn't come out of a heart of, God, you are so good. God, I love you. God, because I'm reconciled to you, run with you, pursue you because you pursued me. It's, well, because I'm a part of this family, guess I have to take out the trash. Guys, that's not the basis of our faith. The truth of this one is John 15, 4 through 5. And we're going to get it on the screen. It says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Abide, we've studied that before, means remain in me. Be still with God. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. A lot of us think not just to be saved, but once we're saved, we have to produce fruit. We have to fill in this blank. We have to do the checklist. Can you imagine if I go home to my wife today and this week I have a checklist for loving my wife? Okay, I need to wake up and say hi to her. Done. Okay, I need to at some point in the day say, Hunter, I love you. Okay, did it? Okay, I'm supposed to go on a date to be a loving husband. All right, let me get reservations. I'm not going to talk to you, but we're going to get reservations. Got it. I mean, can you imagine? My wife would be like, wait, what are you doing? Do you love me? Or are you just checking it off? None of you have spouses. Let's think if it's your dad. Okay? Your dad, who loves you, who provides for you, who is there to help you grow as a man or a woman. What if your dad was just like, all right, I'm working hard. You've got food. Okay? I've paid for the electric bill this month. You're going to have electricity. Okay? I'm gonna pay the car bill so that you can go, but he never talks to you. He never sits with you. There is absolutely no relationship. He's just checking the box to go, I'm doing what a dad should. Most of us in this room, all of us in this room would go, hey, Dad, I just want you to love me. It's not about all those things, but what happens is when your dad loves you, he's gonna do these things. He's gonna provide. He's gonna care. When I love my wife, I'm going to pursue her in that way. Guys, it's about a relationship with Jesus, not a checklist faith. We're not trying to just fill the boxes and check the boxes because we believe. It is about loving him. And so I want to ask you, what are you doing? Fill in the blank. Coming to church, going to small group, reading your Bible. All of those are good things if the heart of it is to grow in Christ and that alone. All right, we're going to quickly speed through two more. Number five, because I'm a Christian, I'm going to have a good, easy life. Happy and good life. I'll just simplify it. Because I love Jesus, all's going to go well with me. That's what we want to believe. That's what hopefully God wants to bless you, but most of us believe in what's called the prosperity gospel. Maybe you've heard people on TV say it. Maybe you want to believe it yourself. This idea that because I love Jesus, all of my life is just going to be peachy. I'm going to have good friends. I'm going to have good health. I'm going to have lots of money. I mean, I love Jesus. What do you think of it for me? I've been a Christian for a long time. I love Jesus. I'm a pastor. I'm trying to love my wife. I want to have a family. It should all go well with me. But most of you guys know my story. My wife and I had a miscarriage. My wife, who's been following Jesus for a long time, her brother died 8 years ago in a motorcycle accident. Just because we love Jesus doesn't mean that we're not going to have a hard life. Because that's not the gospel. Here's what Jesus promises. In John 16:33, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble. Not may have trouble, might have trouble, some will have trouble. You will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Guys, we live in a broken world. People get sick. People die. You will be persecuted because of your faith. Not because God doesn't love you, but because this is not home. But most of us have begun to believe or want to believe that just because I love Jesus, I'm going to be happy and it's going to be easy. That's not the gospel. It's not about happiness. It's about Jesus. And it's about satisfaction and life in him and nothing else. And then finally, number six. It's Harrison's job to tell people about Jesus. Oh, he's the pastor. He's at the church. He works on a church staff. It's his job to share the gospel. It's his job to make it look like he's living life in Christ. I'll just come. I'll just invite other people. All that's great. But guys, I'm not the church. Watermark is not just this place that we come and do church. We are the church. You are the church. The Great Commission is just as true for you as it is for me. It's not, hey, go make disciples if you are working at a church. It's if you believe in Jesus, go be on mission. Matthew 28:19-20. That's the Great Commission. Here's what it says. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Behold, I'm with you to the end of the age. But most of us just kind of pawn it off and go, oh, maybe someday, maybe later, or no, that's just Harrison's job. And guys, is it hard? Yeah. But if you've read any of your Bible, you've been hanging around here, you see the Apostle Paul and what he went through. And you look at even some of these other guys and what they went through to share the gospel so that people could have life in Christ, not to just do religious things, not to be spiritual, not to have a checklist faith, not to just look like they have it all together, but to have life in Christ. Can you imagine if Paul's sitting with us here this week? He's here, and we bring Paul up, and Paul just goes, man, before I say anything, I just want to ask you, man, can you believe the privilege we have of sharing Christ with people? How'd you do this week? Tell me some stories. What happened? Oh, Paul, it's hard. Oh, I know it's hard. Tell me about it. Oh, man, it's just really hard. Yeah, I know. Yeah, look, I mean, like you're saying when you're on the ships and it's stormy and you think that you're about to die because you're just trying to follow Jesus? Uh-huh. You mean like when you get thrown in prison and you're shackled up in chains that are stretching you until you can barely think that you're going to breathe and you're there for nights and days and you're not eating and you're starving, but you know that the gospel is real and it can save people. Is that what you're talking about? Uh-huh. So, and then they take you out and they put you in the stocks. And they put this thing on you and you like have this crick in your neck for days. But you just are standing on the truth that you know that God is saving people because of the truth of Jesus. Is that what you're talking about is hard? Is that what's happened this week? No, man, it's just awkward. Oh. Yeah, I just feel like my friends are not going to like me after that. Just feel like I'm a little scared. It's not just a guilt trip. Because if we believe that we are saved by grace through faith, and that is the thing that can not only change people's eternity, but right now, why wouldn't we be willing to give of our lives in the way the Apostle Paul did, in the way the men and women of the Reformation did, so that we could see the scriptures, so that we could see the truth of Jesus? Guys, we're on the same mission. You may not die for it. Most of you won't. You may not be asked to do these crazy things, but what God calls you to is to love him. Not to just go to church, Not to just come to small group, not to just check off the box. Those are all great things to do to pursue Jesus. But guys, it's about Jesus alone. So I'm going to steal something that I've heard our senior pastor here say, Todd Wagner. And I want to put this to you as your challenge, as you go out to love the people this week in the community that God has brought you. If you and your small group were the only Christians in all of Dallas, you're it. Let's just say this room are the only Christians in all of Dallas. How would the church be doing? Think about it. And it's not just a guilt trip. The Reformation was all about, hey, what do we need to do to strip away all of the junk and the garbage and the lies so that we can get back to the simplicity of the gospel, because it's all about Jesus. And that's what we need in 2017. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these boys and girls growing as men and women of God. Lord, will you forgive us for what we have made Christianity to be? How most of us live out our faith in a way that seems like it's just still a bunch of rules and practices. Will you help? Will we repent from that to go back to just relationship in Christ? Will you help each of us in this room to think through the ways that we have just kind of checked the box in our faith? And will you help us just grow in intimacy as we abide with you? And as we do that, Lord, as we read the truth of the scriptures, will you transform our lives? Will you transform this ministry, transform this church, and change this city because of Jesus? And that's it. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the men and women who've gone before us. We thank you for Jesus who died and rose again so that we could have life. Thanks for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.